In 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23, we read, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" The last time I was up here a couple of months or so ago for the remembrance, I read those same passages, those same verses. And at that time, I focused on the relationship between verse 26 and the following verses, verses 27 through 34, regarding the discerning of the Lord's body, specifically whose body it was, the body of Jesus, Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, and the humility and self-sacrifice that Jesus, the Son of God, showed in giving himself on the cross of Calvary. What I'd like to do at this time is to take a look at two events that happened when Jesus died, and to just take a look and see what these events should bring to our minds as we proclaim his death through this supper. Over in Matthew 27, starting in verse 50, we read, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city, and appeared to many." The first event I want to look at is in verse 51, where the veil of the temple was torn into from top to bottom. This is something that we've looked at many times. I think this is something that's familiar when we look at this passage, because I think the lesson is so evident to those of us who are Christians, and especially who know what the veil stood for. That veil served to separate the people from where God sat, his mercy seat, the place of atonement. Only one Israelite could go into that holy place once a year and be in the presence of God, the high priest. But what we have in Christ changes all of that. Over in Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 24, we read, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed." In verse 25, it talks about Christ being our propitiation. It's not a word we use every day. What does it mean? Well, when you look at that word, what it's going back to and what it relates to is exactly what we were just mentioning. The mercy seat, the place of atonement. Jesus, we no longer, back up just for a second. We no longer have a place physically behind a veil where that serves as our seat of atonement, our mercy seat. Rather, we have Christ who has become that for us. And in becoming our mercy seat, becoming our place of atonement, his blood has washed away our sins and reconciled us to the Father, taking away that sin that was separating us from the Father and reconciling us together with him, as Romans 5, verse 10 and 11 talk about. And in doing that, no longer are we separate from him and unable to go to that mercy seat, go to that place of atonement, but we can boldly go before the throne of grace and worship Him and be with Him. So, we have that reconciliation that has occurred. But verses 52 and 53 talk about something else. And this is something that I don't think we really look at a lot of. I think when we read these verses, we just kind of say, wow, this is neat. You know, just the whole concept here of these people being raised. But I think there's a message in here for us too, for when we proclaim the Lord's death. Because it talks about how the graves were opened and many bodies of the saints were raised and then came out of those graves after the resurrection. Here's the scene that I want you to picture in your mind. What's depicted in these verses. Christ dies, and when He dies, you have this great earthquake. And then it talks about how the rocks are split and the graves are opened. The tombs are opened. And how many bodies of the saints were raised. But if I'm reading this right, they didn't come out, those bodies didn't come out of those tombs until 3 days later, until after the Lord was resurrected. And I think there's some significance in that. When I read that, and I'll be honest with you, that's the first time, when I was studying this, I finally read it carefully, and those words caught my eye. And Colossians 2, verses 13 through 15 came to my mind. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling out the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. When Christ died, because of His blood, He has forgiven that debt of our sins by nailing it to His cross. But not just that, He didn't just forgive our sins, but He has made us alive together with Him. Think about those saints that were in those tombs that were opened, that had risen, but they hadn't come out yet until after His resurrection. They had been made alive because of His death. So, what's that to us? We've been made alive with Him. And we will triumph with Him as well. When we are raised out of our graves on that last great day. When we proclaim His death through this supper, we proclaim the victory that we have in His death. We are no longer separated from the Father, rather we are reconciled to Him. And we are no longer dead in our sins, rather we are alive with Him and have the hope of eternal life with Him in heaven.